readings today are some of my favorites. I love the passage in Acts that we read this morning. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing them, the proceeds, to all who had any need. It's a template for the church, right? Teaching, community, communion, prayer, meeting needs, being generous. They're sharing meals. They're getting together for spiritual gatherings. And their numbers increased. It's a great passage. But somehow during this pandemic, it was hard for me to get passionate about preaching about breaking bread and worshiping with one another. This common life is something we have just taken for granted. Even in difficult times, we've not been so isolated. We've been able to cry on each other's shoulders. We've been able to hug encouragement, to lay hands on in prayer. We could come together in one place to break bread and worship together. Liturgically, Easter season is one of confidence and triumph and belonging. We're supposed to be filled with joy and hope of the resurrection. Lent is now over. Lamenting and disappointment is supposed to end at Easter, right? When we shout, "The Lord is risen indeed, alleluia," right? It's supposed to end then. But this year, disappointment, lament, grief, anxiety, isolation, and loneliness very publicly and starkly continue. And yet there still is resurrection hope mingled with the lament. Jesus has still risen. But it's hard to know what that means in this time. Where is the resurrection hope in the global crisis? It is at this moment that the lectionary has us look at the Emmaus Road story on the first Resurrection Sunday. It's a passage uniquely able to speak to us in our time of disappointment and uncertainty. Disappointment about what is lost and anxiety for the future. There is so much we don't know about what our lives will look like in the future. We are entering uncharted territory. Go ahead and open your Bibles. We're going to take a look at Luke 24, starting at the 13th verse. The two travelers in the Emmaus Road account are disciples. They're not well-known ones. They're not apostles. Only one of them is named. They aren't the stars or the leaders, but they knew Jesus well, and they loved him. They followed him. And it was these two disciples that Jesus chose to meet. The basic story is these two disciples are on the road together. They meet up with a third person they don't recognize. They walk together. The scriptures are open to them. They share a meal that reveals that Christ is with them. And then they go and share the good news. Does that sound familiar? It should sound like a Sunday service, in more normal times at least. We gather together. We hear the scriptures read and expounded on. We celebrate a Eucharistic meal where Christ's presence is in the elements. And then we go out in the world to share the gospel. In Christian worship, we come into the presence of Christ just like the disciples did on the Emmaus Road. We still do, despite gathering virtually and celebrating spiritual communion. Ernest Hemingway once was asked to write a story with only 6 words, and this is what he wrote. For sale, baby shoes, never used. Think about what those 6 words imply. A story about heartache and loss, grief, and having to go on with life. In 6 words. The passage in Luke gives us a story in 4 words. It's in verse 21, I think. But we had hoped. But we had hoped. Think about what that implies. The future the disciples had hoped for wasn't going to happen. A future where Jesus becomes king of Israel by overthrowing the Romans. A future where their nation would be restored. Their messianic dreams of a conquering hero are gone. And like Hemingway's story, there's an emptiness and lament for what could have been. The disciples are grieving. They're disappointed and disillusioned, and they're confused about the meaning of current events. And the future is uncertain. And most of us can relate to that feeling right now. We're mourning over lives that are lost too early. Grief and disappointment about all that's lost. Our freedom of movement. Our freedom to gather. Those missing the end of their senior year. All that's supposed to look like. Missing graduation. There's disappointment about weddings and long-planned vacations that have been disrupted. Disappointment and uncertainty about paying our bills because we've lost our job or we've suffered pay cuts. Disappointment that life isn't the same as it was, and the realization that the right question is not, when is this all going to end, but the right question is, how do we continue in this uncertainty? And like the disciples, we may be disillusioned and not know who to believe. The women told the disciples that the tomb was empty, but they weren't sure that they should believe the women. They didn't know what the resurrection meant yet. We also hear accounts from various people and organizations, and sometimes we don't know what to believe, what's true, and what are the next right steps. There are so many competing values. We, too, are confused about the meaning of current events, and our future is uncertain. But we had hoped. Those are heartbreaking words. We can feel the disciples' lament. On Holy Saturday and into Easter Sunday, before the truth of the resurrection was understood, I can imagine that the disciples were saying to one another, "This isn't the way it's supposed to be. Jesus wasn't supposed to die. And he didn't just die, he was crucified. It was a criminal's death." Deuteronomy says that being hung on a tree meant that the person is cursed by God. I imagine them saying, "How could this have happened?" Now, we know that Jesus' death at the hands of the Romans was supposed to have happened. It was God's plan all along to redeem the people. The disciples had hoped for victory over the Romans, but God has so much bigger a plan. God's plan was victory over death itself. What seems incomprehensible at the time, what is heartbreaking, what leaves a hole that seems impossible to fill, may actually be God's plan. We just don't know it until we look backwards. I think history will look back at this moment in time and see a watershed moment for the church. Like Queen Esther, we are here for such a time as this. We each have a unique role to play, and we have the opportunity to be innovative, evangelistic, and to be focused on God and others more, because nothing is the same. The world is looking for answers amidst uncertainty, and we have that answer. We can point to a God who is never changing. We can point to a Savior who knows what it's like to suffer. We can point to scriptures that are about real people. They're historical. They really happened. Peter did deny Rabbi Jesus. It was the women, who are not even allowed to testify in court, who Jesus first appears to and tells them to testify to the most important event in history, the resurrection. And it was two tired, confused, disillusioned friends lamenting what they had hoped for that now seemed impossible that Jesus chose to meet on the Emmaus Road. Those accounts point to the authenticity of the gospel. And we are called to tell these stories and the stories about this time in history, because at both times the world shifted and nothing looked the same again. Just like we shouldn't gloss over the grief in the phrase, "but we had hoped." We shouldn't gloss over the grief and disappointment and fear in the world right now. We want to hurry to the end without all this suffering. We don't want to think too much about those over 200,000 deaths globally or the nearly 3 million people who have been diagnosed with COVID-19. But we need to take time to grieve. We need to say, but we had hoped, and acknowledge the loss of life, the loss of livelihood, the loss of dreams and hopes, the loss of the way life had been. The disciples on the road to Emmaus had their hearts burning within them because they had met the Lord. But it was only after their hearts were broken. The hope of the resurrection comes after the horror of Good Friday. I don't know what the positives will be after this hard time, but I know there will be positives. There will be hope again. I have seen so many good things so far. More reaching out, more generosity, more time outside, more family times, a cleaner world, less pollution. When we get back to normal life, we will get back to normal life. But like the disciples on the Emmaus Road, that life will be changed. Normal will look different. Charles Spurgeon once wrote, "When two saints are talking together, Jesus is very likely to come and make the third one in the company. Talk of him, and you will soon be talking with him." That's what we want, right? We want Jesus to come into our midst and show us who he is. We want to hear the truth burning within us. Recognizing Jesus in our midst takes place when we open our hearts and our minds to worship, when we pray, and when we come together, even if it's by Facebook Live or Zoom. For now, we need to live with spiritual communion, but there will be a day when we celebrate the Eucharist together again. But you don't have to wait until that day to experience the real presence of Jesus. Acknowledge all that you had hoped for and allow yourself to deal with the losses and disappointment. Lament is very biblical. Call out to God. Talk to the Lord about the things that are happening, about your uncertainty about what everything means and how you will go on. Expect that God is listening and God speaks. Have the desire to recognize Jesus and he will show himself to you. Even when the disciples didn't know they were talking to Jesus, even though they hadn't accepted that he had risen from the dead, their hearts burned within them when they heard God's word speak to their grief and uncertainty. And we have that available to us as well. The Lord will speak to our grief and uncertainty. He will point us to himself as the answer. Reach out to one another. Listen to each other's stories. Weep with those who weep. Commit to listening more to the Lord and to one another, and you will see Jesus in your midst. Jesus has risen. The hope of the resurrection is within you. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
And now in response to God's word preached, we are on page 20 in your Anglican prayer book. We're going to declare our faith using the historic words of the Apostles' Creed. So if you're able, I invite you to stand.